before we take picture number 9, we have to take the commentary of number 8. Mediocrity is gone. Mind is clear of limitations. I seek no state of enlightenment, neither do I remain where no enlightenment exists. Since I linger in neither conditions, eyes cannot see me. If 100 of birds strew my path with flowers, such praise would be meaningless. When the mind is clear of limitation, when there is a clear sky, no clouds, just limitless blue sky, then you have no obstacles then. It's clear vision. I seek no state of enlightenment, neither do I remain where no enlightenment exists. You can only seek something if you're missing something, if there is any uneasiness. When you have found, then you forget both then, enlightenment and no enlightenment. Because it is your natural state. And how can you see something if it's nobody there? Who is there to seek? No, you are in tune with the whole. It must be someone who is seeking something, who is not happy with the situation as it is. When that identification is gone, the seeker is gone, then the sought is found. And in the finding, you forget it totally. Since I linger in neither condition, eyes cannot see me. Since I linger in neither conditions, I'm neither this or that. I just am. There is no opposites anymore. It's not bad, it's not good. It's just is. And in that isness, there is balance, there is harmony for the first time. As long as there is good and bad, the other has to follow. Beyond all conditions, since I linger in neither condition, that means that which always is not a condition, it just is. Eyes cannot see me. No eyes can see that, because no eyes, eyes just see the form. That's why the form can easily fool you. And that's why so much attention is on the form now, it's never been so much attention on the form as now, on the appearance. Why? Because we have lost the real. When we have lost the real, you have to try to make the false real. Even when people leave the body, when they are dead, they get painted and makeup on, so they look nice. It means you are totally forgotten that which is real. You are just the body. And in the body, it is suffering, it is fear. Because bodies come, bodies go. So only you know only the body, there will be fear. That's why so much identification with the form, with the appearance. And it's never looked as now. And you are never happy. The other way around. Look at the Michael Jackson. He was so popular, but he was not satisfied. Nobody is satisfied because they are too identified with the appearance. They have forgotten what they have inside. They have forgotten the real. So then more and more painting on the outside. Since I linger in neither conditions, eyes cannot see me. No ordinary eyes can see you. Only somebody who comes from vision, that is the whole meaning with the third eye. Third eye, they only, in India, they have it only in the gods, no? Shiva, he has the third eye. Many saints, they get painted with the third eye, no? It means, no, you are beyond the appearance. That is in the sixth chakra. That means you are not fooled with the eyes. You see with your inner eyes, you see with the third eye. Then no appearance, no form can fool you. You can never get fooled when you can see clearly with your inner light, with your inner vision, with your third eye. But ordinary people, they don't see that. They only see the form. So even for an enlightened, even for a Buddha, they just see an ordinary person. They can see beyond because the form is the same. The deeper they go, the closer they come to themselves, the more they can recognize. They are far from themselves, they cannot see anything, only the form. They have seen more of the formless, of peace, of love, of compassion, of silence. The more they can recognize. But ordinary, eyes cannot see, because the ordinary eyes is split. It's either like this or it's like that. You have to fit it in a box. Only the one who is integrated can clearly see, because he is not fooled by the appearance. He is not fooled with his eyes. He is not fooled with what he hears. He sees beyond it. It doesn't matter what you say, or how you look, or how you dress, or how you behave. He can see beyond it. If 100s of birds strew my path with flowers, such praise would be meaningless. Because you are already celebrating. You are in the biggest celebration. It doesn't matter if you praise or if you blame. It has nothing to do with me. Praise or blame, inferior, superior, it belongs to the split mind. When you're beyond that, it doesn't matter. You see, you hear, but it has nothing to do with you because you are not identified. It just means if hundreds of birds drew my path with flowers, such praise would be meaningless. It's what any ego would love. But if you are free of it, then you don't need anything then. And one thing is for sure, that most people will blame you instead of praising you because they can't see beyond the form. They can see beyond the mind. Only those who are seeking, and that is the whole part of the seeker, is to integrate so they don't have a split vision through the two eyes, but they get one vision. They're not divided. And when one is not divided, one is at rest, one is at peace, because then no conflict. Conflict comes out of many. If only one, how can there be conflict? You are not sick anymore, no? Then if you are not sick, what are you then? Okay. Are you also healthy? You are healthy or sick?
Healthy.
Okay. That's good. It's a thin line. Nine, bull, returning to the source. Too many steps has been taken. Having returned to the source, effort is over. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Dwelling in the source, unconcerned with that without. The rivers flow tranquilly on. The flowers are red. The Zen people, they have also this saying, no fuss. That is from this kind of space. Or who cares? Or easy is right. Too many steps has been taken. Having returned to the source, effort is gone. When you are at the source, you realize you've always been at the source. That's why you forget. You forget all the vision. Everything is like it always has been. You are at the source. You return into your essence as it is. Then why all these steps has been taken? Why all this seeking? Why all this effort? That is the paradox, because we have forgotten. The whole seeking is because we have forgotten the source. But when you have come back to the source, you can't understand how you could be anywhere else. This is how it is. This is the natural state. That's why he says, too many steps has been taken. Having returned to the source, effort is over. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Then I will have put all this on me. But that is easy to say afterwards. Everything is easy when you know it. When you don't know it, then it's very difficult. When you know it, then you forget about it. Even in little things. How difficult it is to ride a bicycle when you are little. To keep the balance. You have to practice, you have to practice. How difficult to drive a car. I have heard about some people, they have like dumped 60 times. It must be a nightmare. Total nightmare. I read about it, over 20 years they're trying to get driver license. But then one day, even after then, they get it and then they drive and then they forget. Then it's not difficult. Then it doesn't help if you bang your head to the rock and say, why didn't I know this from the beginning? It was in you, but you need practice. But with the inner world, it's something mysterious because it's there. You don't even need practice. It's just that it's too close and you look far away. So this is the thing. No, he's just saying too many steps has been taken, having returned to the source, effort is over. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Then I wouldn't have started this whole thing. dwelling in the source, unconcerned with that without. When you are resting in your own center, in the source, you definitely become unconcerned with that without. Everything in one way becomes very ordinary. You become so ordinary, and just to be ordinary is the most extraordinary. Because in this world, full of egos, everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to prove themselves. Everybody wants to show off. It's always on guard. No, you have lost total interest. Who cares what the world is doing, what they say? Who cares? It goes on. Everybody is free. You are content. You forget that. Before, you were so worried what people say about you, what people think about you, if you fit in, if you don't fit in, if you did the right thing, if you did the wrong thing. All these things are totally gone. Not only gone, but gone forever. Dwelling in the source, unconcerned with that without. That is freedom, because otherwise you're always a slave of your surroundings. Because you always care about what people say and think and talk and mean. And you're trying desperately to fit in. Something must have gone wrong that everybody is focusing on the other instead of finding themselves. Then the mystical thing is that out from that self place, when you have come back to yourself, then everything falls in order. You don't need any Ten Commandments. You don't need anybody to say what is right and what is wrong, because everything that comes from that place is harmonious, is beautiful. Because that is how your nature is. But the mind cannot understand it. The mind needs rules and regulations and laws and Ten Commandments. That's why everybody is afraid at one stage of the journey also to fall apart. Because how can I function? Will I just be a vegetable? No, you will be pure intelligence. First you are just mind and rules and thoughts, confusion. Afterwards you pure intelligence. Then you wonder the other way, how did I manage to live like that? Everything is upside down. Too many steps has been taken, having returned to the source, effort is over. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Dwelling in the source, unconcerned with that without, the rivers flow tranquilly on, the flowers are red. This is what is happening in the moment. No, you are in tune. This is what is happening today. You don't carry the whole burden of the mind. You see that the river is flowing so beautiful. Today also is flowing. How nice. It makes no fuss. And the mountains in the beautiful crimson light with pink and red. What a sight. This is what is happening in the moment. No, you are in harmony. No, it's the stage where the disciple and the master melts. Because all is one. It's no separation anymore. Only an understanding is left, a gratitude is left. And that is the different. The struggle alone is almost impossible. With the Master, it's possible. Because how can you fight your own mind? You are so identified. In many, 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 many steps. That is where love, trust, understanding, let go, surrender, all these things comes in. Till that place, know everything, know you understand, and in that understanding, in that melting, where everything becomes like the Master always talked about, then there is even greater understanding, greater gratefulness. Commentaries on the ninth. From the beginning, truth is clear, poised in silence. I observe the forms of inter-creation or dis-inter-creation. One who is not attached to form need not to be reformed. Poised in silence, I observe. And only in that silence, in that awareness, can you observe. Because you are not identified. Otherwise, you are always so identified. Any little word can totally throw you off center. Just one little word can create a conflict, can create a war, can create a life struggle. Because you are so identified with your thoughts, your understanding, your feelings, everything, it's so sticky. And because of this, you can't really see, observe, understand. Because you need a distance. You need to see it in the totality. You can't just see it out from your narrow vision. You need to see it out from the whole. Poised in silence, I observe. And that's what the mystics are doing. They observe. And sometimes they are amazed. Even people on the path. Why are you going so in circles? And why are you struggling and fighting with the truth, with love itself? It's mind-boggling. Poised in silence, I observe. Then you observe everything. The forms comes and goes. Attached to form need not to be reformed. One who is not attached to form need not to be reformed. If you are not attached, if you are not identified to your form, to the body, then you don't need to be reformed. You don't need to be fixed then. Because your focus is already beyond the form. If your whole focus is on the form, on the body, on your mind, on you, on your ego, then definitely you need to be reformed. And before you have to be reformed, like I talked about so many times, you have to be torn down. First you have to get torn down. First you have to be dismantled. First you have to be melted. Then you can be reformed. That is the whole process. But one who is not attached to form need not to be reformed. The water is emerald, the mountains indigo. I see that which is creating and that which is destroying. Again, he goes on, the water is emerald, the mountains indigo. How beautiful. This is what I see, this is the truth, this is how it is. There is no confusion there, there is no unclarity. There is always unclarity with the mind. You can never really say what you really mean, what you really want, because you don't know. When you see clearly, you express clearly. When the mountains are indigo and the sunset, this is how it is, there's no doubt. And if somebody is arguing about it, turn their head towards the mountain. And that is what the master is doing. You come up with all kinds of things, the master is again and again trying to look. This is the color of the sunset. This is it's nothing to do with me, this is how it is. Either you see or you don't see. Yes, when you have your eyes closed, you can argue, you can fight, you can quarrel, you can make noises, problems. But if you see, you see. Ah, this is how beautiful. The waters, emerald, the mountains are indigo. I see that which is creating and that which is destroying. Again, he goes on, both. I see that which is creating. I see that which is destroying. Because this is how existence is. It's life and day. It's dark and light. It's birth and death. I see the whole picture. I see the full circle. I'm not stuck on one part. I can see the flow of it. This is how it is. This is natural. and I'm one with it, I relax into it, no conflict. I can see that which is creating and I can see that which is destroying. In India, they have one god, Shiva. He is the destroyer and the creator. This is a symbol of this stage. You are both. You are the most, is most Shiva temples in India, because people are very afraid of Shiva. He's the most powerful god. So they have to have a lot of temples, because otherwise, they have to please him. Because he's the most powerful. If Shiva gets mad, not only you finish, but the whole world, the whole, this part of the universe, Kadush, finished. So you have to bring flowers to the temple and please Shiva. Shiva is a symbol of destruction. No, he tears down the whole this cycle. But he is also the creator, because both go together. And at the same time, he is the most feared, most powerful god. He is also the most silent. He is the king of meditation. He is the Mahayogi. He is the king of the yogis. Beyond that, he is just pure silence, sitting in the Himalayas. He is the god for all the meditators, all the yogis, all the true seekers of silence. So you have both sides. That is a symbol of this state. You destroy and you create. And you do it freely, because that is how it is. Whatever needs to be destroyed, you destroy. Whatever needs to be created, you create. That is up to Shiva. And if you are intimate, if you are friends with Shiva, if you are a lover of Shiva, then he will take care of you. Then you allow him to do whatever is needed, because there is total trust. That's how it is. When you have surrender, then you are part of existence. Then whatever needs to happen is happening and will happen. And you are at ease. You don't interfere in the dance. Everything is perfect. But before Shiva becomes one with you, he will test you. the mountains are beautiful, the river is singing, and the flowers are red. Jai Bhagavan. Shiva tested me in deep in the Himalayas. But then he moved in instead. Dripping nose meditation. It has four stages. One, observe that your nose is dripping. Two, realize that your nose is dripping. And that you cannot meditate and blow your nose at the same time. Three, be patient as the fluid runs slowly from your nose down to your lips. Watch, feel, observe. Four, accept that this is a part of you. You might not want it, but it is. This Snootaraj meditation has helped me deal with some truths I have faced in silence with myself. That's what I tell you, right? It might come for the most mysterious places. It's not from where, I just be open. Then you will see it. Even from the Snootaraj meditation. I see things I do not like. I see my chattering mind and how judgmental it is. But in seeing, I become aware. And in awareness, light. Thank you for shining your light on us. At your feet, Rai. This is the different stages, Rai. Don't be hard on yourself. You start seeing, observing, taking notice. And maybe the best thing of all, you have a sense of humor. That will carry you through. Hold on to that. If you hold on to humor and me, you are fine. Yeah? I see things I do not like. I see my chattering mind and how judgmental it is. Yeah, we have to see it. Normally, they always say, no, me? I'm fine. Because they haven't looked. Then it is a stage to clean it out. First, we have to go down in the basement. Not many people go down there now because it's old. Then you see. But in the seeing, I become aware. That is the thing. If you don't see, you can never become aware. And in awareness, light. That's how it goes. It has four stages. One, observe that your nose is dripping. Two, realize that you cannot meditate and blow your nose at the same time. There you are wrong. Why not? Be natural. You must have an idea how meditation should be. Meditation is to be spontaneous, relaxed in the moment. If your nose is dripping, what is the body telling? Take a tissue and wipe your nose. But you can do that meditatively also. There's nothing wrong with it. This just shows another side of the mind, no? You have an idea. And then that will disturb your whole meditation. Running all that snot into your mouth. You just... No. The next step, you just want to take one gracefully like this and you take a wipe. Meditative. So you're aware what you are doing, no? So you don't wipe it and just stick it somewhere, no. You put it together like this. Make sure all the snot is inside. Awareness. There's a famous story about the Buddha. It was one fly that came And then he just like this. And then again, he did the movement very, very slowly. And then Ananda, who was always with him, he asked, "Why are you doing this again?" He said, "Because first, I wasn't totally aware. I did it unconsciously. But if you do it consciously, then it has a totally different feeling. It is meditation." So that's why I say, you know, you if it's dripping, wipe it. If your bladder is full, go and pee. Don't torture yourself. I'm not for torture. This is not like a Zen monastery or a Tibetan monastery, like you have to suffer. I want you to be comfortable, but also be conscious. So this is, number two is not, realize that you cannot meditate and blow your nose at the same time. Yes, you can. And if you have a cold and your nose is dripping, then that should be your meditation. Blowing the nose meditation. Then normally it takes some days, no, 4 or 5 days if people have a cold. Then that for the next 5 days, this is your meditation. Do it meditatively. Because if not, then you will be against it. Then everybody's meditating. Nobody sees me. No, that's not. Then you lose all that grace. You miss that beautiful action to do it consciously. Like that. Otherwise, everybody's sitting and just. You get it? And three, be patient as the fluid runs slowly from your nose down to your lips. No, that is also, it's not, you stop it there in the second. Four, accept that this is part of you. You might not want it, but it is. Why? Who are you? That don't interfere. This is the law of nature. When you have a flu, sometimes your nose is running. Fine. Don't have any opinions. This is what's happening. Enjoy it. Okay. Very good, right? Success is relative. The more success, the more relatives. A wedding is a ceremony where a man loses control of himself. It is better for a woman to be beautiful than intelligent, because men's eyes functioning better than their brains. True misery for a man is when there is no more problems to be solved. Meditate on it. You can make a problem out of anything. Women do have really a sense of humor. Look at their boyfriends. Just go on smiling. Tomorrow will be worse. becomes it. Do this Nutrajaya meditation as gracefully as possible if you have a flu. A dripping nose has its own beauty. Relax. Accept. Go deeper. Ha 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 ha!